Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to read a passage, and if you would, turn in your New Testaments to Matthew, the 28th chapter. While you're doing that, I'd like to take a moment to welcome the visitors that we have. We have a number of visitors with us today, some from within Las Vegas, some without. I don't count Hannah and Sarah's visitors, even though they're coming back from college to visit. But we'd like to extend a very special welcome to you as visitors. We'd like to make a special announcement that we have a new brother in Christ. Brother Ken Walker was baptized last Sunday, and we welcome him as a brother, and we're glad that he chose to put his Lord on in baptism. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, the last few verses, the setting is Jesus, it's right before he ascends back into heaven, and he is giving a commandment to his disciples, to his apostles, and it is something that they will carry out. And he says, starting in verse 19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Jesus gave what we refer to as the Great Commission to his followers, and we're still doing that today. Everybody that we bring the gospel to doesn't always accept it like Ken did. Not everybody that the gospel is preached to accepts and is baptized. But we have to go. It's the Great Commission starts with go into the world. We have to go. And our lesson today is based on the different responses to the gospel. There's going to be various responses that people have to the gospel. One of those is to avoid, kind of like an ostrich, puts his head in the sand just because, you know, and don't we do that sometimes? We put our head in the sand, we pull the covers up over our head, and we just kind of think out of sight, out of mind. The sad thing about it is judgment and the judgment day is going to be for everybody. And avoiding it is not going to change the fact that it's going to come. Sometimes people avoid the gospel out of pride. Pride's a good sense of pride drives us to be better people. A good sense of pride makes us do a good job at work. But that worldly, ugly, arrogant pride can keep us from being a Christian. Avoiding hearing uncomfortable truths, uncomfortable things that we have to face. Hearing the truth sometimes demands change. And maybe we don't want to change. Sometimes it's easy to see the faults in others, but sometimes looking in that mirror is tough. Well, a face like this looking in the mirror is tough every day for me. But looking in the mirror sometimes is tough to see your flaws. And so some people avoid it like the ostrich. Just stick my head in the ground and it doesn't apply to me. There's shame and guilt sometimes to be preached and to understand the gospel, to understand that there is sin in my life. That's not always a pleasant truth to accept. And some people avoid the gospel, avoid the truth that comes with the gospel. In Zechariah chapter 7, the word of God was being preached. and some of the people, it says, but they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so they could not hear. The truth is being preached. God's word is being preached. Bah, 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 bah. I can't hear you. Keep talking as long as you want. I can't hear you. I'm not listening. They shrugged their shoulders and refused to heed the word of God. It says, yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. We need to make sure that we're aware of this. Because when we take the gospel to our friends, our family, to maybe even strangers, some of them may avoid the gospel. It happened to Paul. You know, not that it gets us off the hook from going, but I used to feel rejected a little bit if I wasn't successful. I thought I failed. Paul failed. Some people didn't heed the words of Paul. Some people didn't heed the words of Jesus. And in Acts 24, verse 25, it says, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, those are not comfortable things to talk about. Those are not comfortable issues to hear always. Righteousness. Paul reasoned with Felix about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. That there is a judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Just, I don't want to listen to it now. Basically plugged his ears. You just go away. I don't want to hear that stuff now. Some of us may have had that attitude. And luckily, other people kept preaching to us. But don't be surprised that when we share the gospel with somebody, they may avoid it. They may not want, they may steer the conversation to something else. I don't want to hear it. It happened to Paul. It happened to others. Another response people have is to condemn or criticize the truth. They may criticize you, the messenger. They may criticize God. They may criticize the church or the Bible. They may be very critical of it, condemning of the message. Sometimes they turn it around and condemn you, the messenger. I don't want to listen to the truth. You're a hypocrite. Well, that's one of the reasons why we want to try, one of the reasons why we want to live our lives as righteous as we can, to where we don't put a stumbling block to the message. But regardless of how we live our lives, doesn't mean the truth's not the truth. But sometimes they attack us. Why should I listen to God's word because I've seen you stumble? They may attack you. They may attack God. Well, if God is a loving God, why did he let the little child die? If God's a loving God, why is there so much misery? Turn it back on God. I don't want to believe in a God that would do that. They will be condemning of God Himself. They'll criticize the church. Oh, the church is just a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, we're a bunch of hypocrites. We're a bunch of sinners. We're a bunch of people that stumble every day. But we, the church, get up, dust each other off, and we keep going. Absolutely, we're sinners. Absolutely, we're hypocrites. Absolutely, we're people that stumble and scuff ourselves every day. But we get up. We dust each other off, and we continue. Absolutely. But they'll attack the church. They'll attack the Bible. Well, I don't understand the Bible. I think there's contradictions in the Bible. Study it a little bit more. No, there's not. In Luke chapter 6, some of the religious leaders were critical and condemning. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath. Why? That they might find an accusation against him. They weren't listening and watching the things Jesus were doing. They were looking for one of those, aha, I gotcha. There's people we work with. There's neighbors of us that may know we go to church and are just lying in wait for that word to slip out of our mouth. Just lying in wait for us to act in a way unbecoming a Christian. Gotcha! Scribes and the Pharisees did it with Jesus. In Acts 26, again, Paul. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. Paul's presenting the truth to him. And he's attacking Paul. You're too holy roller, Paul. You're just too righteous. You're too much this Christian guy. You're nuts. Too much learning's driving you mad. In James 3, verse 1, it says, My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. One of that judgment that we will face as a teacher is from other people. Other people are going to put a higher standard on us. Looking at us with a microscope, with a magnifying glass, focusing in on every little thing that we do. So don't be surprised if people are critical or criticize and condemn you, your God, the Bible, the church. That's one of the responses people have toward the truth, toward the gospel. Some just flat out reject it. Just flat out reject it. Paul was rejected. Jesus was rejected. In Luke 10, verse 16, Jesus says, "He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." We have to remember, it's not so much that they're rejecting us. They're rejecting Jesus, and they're ultimately rejecting God. John 12, verse 48 is a scripture that has reminded me that we do have something that will be judging us. And that's the Word of God. Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." We're going to be judged by the words of Jesus. And those people that may choose to reject, they're going to have to answer to the Word of God. Mark 6:11. "And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Excuse me. In Acts 13:51, "But they shook the dust off of their feet against them and came to Iconium." They were rejected. They did what was told them. They shook the dust off their feet. And then what? They sit down. "Oh, I was rejected." Sit down, moan their fate, cry in their Wheaties. No, they went on to teach somebody else. They went on to teach others. And some people accept. Some people accept the Word of God and are saved as a result. In Mark 12, verse 37, it says, "And the common people heard him gladly." The common people. A lot of the scribes and Pharisees, they were critical. They were looking for a way to accuse Jesus of something. Being critical of him healing. Looking for how they can condemn his actions. But it says, the common people heard him gladly. In Acts 2:41, it says, "Then those who gladly received His word. This is talking about Peter on the day of Pentecost. Peter and the other apostles, they stood up and they delivered the first gospel sermon, and this is when the church was created. The church that had been in God's plan from the foundation, that everything would come together at the right time, the right place, just how God said it would. That on the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and delivered that sermon that Jesus was the Son of God. This was the Messiah, the Savior, and you crucified Him. And they when they heard that, it said they were cut to the heart and cried out, "What shall we do?" And Peter responded, "Repent and be baptized." That's what you do. You repent and then be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins. In verse 41, then those who gladly receive, not everybody received the word. Some avoided it. Some rejected it. Those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. What a day. It's probably better that I wasn't there. Because I get emotionally overwhelmed when Ken said last week, "I want to be baptized." Inside, I'm elated. 3,000. I'm glad Peter and them were there and handled that, because I don't know if I could have handled that one. I'd have just been glad overload. And then the result is Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord added. We don't join a church. We're added to the church by God when we put His Son on in baptism. The Lord adds us to the church. It's His church. He died for it. It's His. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, if you have not been added to the church by the Lord, we can do that today. If you're in a spot where you may be rejecting the gospel or rejecting the truth of the gospel of repentance, ask for forgiveness. Turn your life around. Turn it around. Go the other direction. If you need prayers of our congregation, I tell you, every week there are brothers and sisters that request of us, "Would you please pray?" They want us to pray for them or a loved one. If you need that. If you're a visitor, if you're a member of the church and are searching for a congregation to worship with here in Las Vegas, we would love for you to worship with us and to fellowship with us and to work in the kingdom with us. Whatever your need, if you'd come forward while Curtis leads us in the invitation, we will address your needs. Let us stand and sing.